Item 9 is a subdivision rezoning at 90 Lexington Park under file DASZ21 of 2013. I have the applicant, Susan Russell. Six people in support.
And I call upon Susan Russell.
Sorry. This presentation will deal with phase one in three parts. The first, Herb will demonstrate how the proposed conceptual development plans for phase one are consistent with the, I will demonstrate how the proposed conceptual development plans for phase one are consistent with the Palliser MRS area master plan and its policies. Number two is Herb will demonstrate how the conceptual plans are consistent with the Palliser MRS vision. And then three, we'll go through this one quickly. I wanted to just review some proposed minor amendments to the public service recommendations in Schedule B. So just to look at the overall master plan, phase one is proposed at 6.21 acres. It's located in the southeast corner of the Palliser MRS between the existing industrial building and the hydro corridor. This site was chosen because it can best demonstrate all aspects of the plan. The proposed development would be accessed via Burnett Avenue and Brunswick Street to the south and Lexington Park from the west. The conceptual site plan shows a development including 320 residential units within four clusters, the first being Apartment Complex A. Apartment Complex A is envisioned at 8 stories with a 10-story section, that small section on the one end, closer to the, do you have your little pointer there? Closer to the existing industrial building, which is that purple area right in there. And then if you could just point out the hydro quarter, just to give it context there, Aaron. The hydro quarter's there, existing industrial building, existing parking lot, Aaron. Just in the middle there, yeah. The second is Apartment Complex B, which again is 8 stories with a small 10-story section on the west side. Townhouse Cluster A, which is 4 stories, and Townhouse Cluster B, which is 4 stories. Herb has managed to get approximately 60% of the parking required within the provided within the buildings. The balance will be provided as parallel parking on the interior driveway, so there's no exposed to the existing residents to the east large parking areas. And the existing parking area between the existing industrial building, the existing underused parking area between the existing industrial building and the phase one site. All apartment buildings would have garbage enclosures integrated into the buildings. Sidewalks would connect phase one to the sidewalk on the south side of Lexington Park and to the bus stop on Brunswick just south of the site. And the proposed density is 51 units per acre, which is in line with what was in the policies. So just to quickly go through the policies that apply, I'm not going to go through all of them. The general urban design policies that are applicable, I'll go through two and then we'll deal a little bit more with compatibility. Pedestrian-oriented community, these policies have been addressed through the, which actually Herb will touch on way more eloquently than I can, but these are the policies that promote a human-scale pedestrian-oriented community. The medium-density residential policies, these policies encourage the provision of a variety of housing types and tenure, which is what this does with the provision of the townhomes, the stacked townhomes, the eight-story and the stepping up to 10-story. The density target has been achieved, and the building, and we're well within the building height range of 2 to 11 stories. Slide number 5, compatibility with adjacent single-family residential neighborhoods. These policies are addressed. The building massing, the building Aaron has actually put into the original concept of the setback requirement, which is 45-degree angle. The proposed buildings by Herb, which we are pleased to say are at a 30-degree angle in terms of setback. So the setback is much more gentle than what's permitted under the proposed policy. privacy. Herb will touch on this even better than I can, but the balconies are set back, and they are oriented away from the neighboring residential, and the lower ones are definitely screened from view with the proposed berming. Shadows. The shadow study demonstrated that there was zero shadow impact on the neighboring residential. Buffering, the landscape berms, the existing landscape berm, Aaron has some good pictures there, of the existing landscape berm that will remain. Additional trees will be added to that. And you can see the very substantial trees that already exist on the east side of that corridor as well, which obviously would stay. Now I will turn it over to Herb that will briefly describe how phase one is expressive of the Palliser Major Redevelopment Site vision, and hopefully we'll touch on the pedestrian-oriented aspects.
Yeah. I just want to reiterate this. The overall master plan that we're talking about imagines a build-out over about 15 years, 10 to 15 years. So this is not a project that we imagine happening overnight. And this first component gives us a chance to test our ideas. It's almost like a bit of an experiment. We, the planners, the community, the market forces, can all have a look at what we're doing. And the idea is that the project matures over time. It's unusual for a family to be committed to a piece of land for 60 years and then to develop a thoughtful, extended approach like this. So indeed, what we're trying to do here is input a little bit of absolutely everything that we've talked about in the area master plan. I think the breakthrough for us was in terms of the community interaction, and really sponsored by the inputs that we got in the sessions that Councillor Broady was at, was to scale things down and to create some sort of distance and to be respectful of the people that inhabited that suburb for many, many years. So we've oriented the buildings so that they're actually not confrontational. When you look out of your living room window, you look diagonally across the hydro allotment. It extends your kind of view distances considerably. We've gone down to four stories, and there you can see how they're broken up. It's not really going to look like a monolithic wall of the building. The balconies that we're proposing are actually on the third floor, so there are no balconies on the fourth floor. The fourth floor is a kind of loft space with views down into the living room and out to the landscape. So we think it's going to be, we're really looking at, you know, quite sort of attractive, perhaps experimental ideas where there's a two-story townhouse with another one set on top of that. And that allows us to get some measure of density, but some measure of kind of higher quality of space as well. The slides don't really lie in the sense that you do get you have to appreciate that this is really a pavilion and a garden. We've figured out, I think, how to effectively put a fair bit of parking under the buildings. And part of this is the schematic design process that we've been involved in. Next slide. Yeah, so this is an image. If you could very quickly go back to the last slide of back. It's right there. So the middle set of images, the one on the left-hand side, that's a photograph taken just a few days ago of the hydro corridor, and you can see what most of the people who live there have been doing. So in fact, it's an amazing example. Everybody expresses themselves differently. Some use coniferous trees, some deciduous trees, some mixed. But it's an amazing example of how to create a buffer with vegetation. So in some ways, you know, the citizens that live adjacent to the site have already figured out how to build these really rich buffers. Thank you. So this image gives you a sense of the lower-rise townhouses. The berm is already there. It's there. There are maybe, I don't know, a dozen patient, lonely, exhausted trees planted on at the moment. We intend to increase that, of course. And you could imagine a green corridor that where there's a reciprocity between what the private citizens have done across the way and what we intend to do. So I think it's very complementary. Thank you. We are, again, the hydro lands, there's some discussion about how to use that. I would say that in its present state, it's not really an intimidating space at all. It lends itself to really quite a nice foreground. And this image just shows actually a group of people watching the solar eclipse. Next image. Then on the urban side, we're going to experiment with this boardwalk idea. We want small shops and cafes to spill out into that boardwalk terraces. We're also quite interested in a micro version of the market garden that happens on weekends. And so we intend to take over some of the pavement only during the spring and fall, and only during the and certainly not in the winter, but we want to build momentum so that as the bigger ideas begin to emerge, the community is accustomed to it. Next. We've already talked about diverse communities in the master plan, and in this proposal we're providing just a wide range of units. It's quite interesting if you note I don't know if we have time to get into some of the details, but there are an enormous number of units that actually have corner suites in the apartment buildings. The larger modules are stepped back at the top. And then both the upper row of apartments and the lower ones are largely two-story units. So you can walk in off-grade, off the boardwalk, and look up at a loft and move into a two-story space. As well, we're proposing two-story units that cap the entire project. So it's the idea of kind of living up high. We think the views from, well, we know for a fact the views from there will be spectacular. Next. I think this is, we've already covered all of these things. But to reiterate, its proximity, its ease of walking distance, its pedestrian paths that link to, you now know, the formidable number of parks that are in the region, the linear access that's down Raleigh and Gateway, the new bike paths, the tremendous amount of planting that's been done in Chief Peguis. There's a new forest emerging there that's only recently been done by the planning department and the city. We really want to integrate that and make this a place where you can, where the kind of recreation activities match perfectly with your daily life. And then this image comes, I've been commuting, which is bizarre, to Rovaniemi, Finland, a town much smaller than ours. It's on the Arctic Circle, so it's a Nordic community. And I've been so inspired by the way in which they live in the city at night and in the winter. It's on the Arctic Circle, so that means there's one day of 24-hour darkness and one day of 24-hour light. And so it's kind of shocking and amazing to see how they've adapted to winter environments where these public plazas that we imagine are actually inhabited by cyclists, by pedestrians, by moms with their trolleys, even at 35 degrees below zero. So there's some evidence of hospitable urban zones in northern climates with a scale of building that we think is about appropriate to what we would like to do. And we found this tremendously exciting, the idea of living. We do it by skating, skiing, cycling is becoming more important. We think these active environments that we propose could be really understood to be year-round activity spaces. Next. Is that it? Okay, thank you.
So that concludes the basic essence of that. We want to go through a couple of proposed amendments to the public service recommendations and the administrative report and Schedule B of the report. Do you have any questions on the previous presentation before we head into that? Okay. Then if we go into Winnipeg Public Service Recommendation number 3, that the developer shall submit to the city for approval of Winnipeg Transit and Winnipeg Fire Paramedic Service, a conceptual site plan showing the proposed internal roadways, bus route, and bus stops to the larger Palliser major redevelopment site area. Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah.
Madam Clerk?
I'm sorry, I'm getting tired.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I do apologize about only giving it to you now, but we were rushing to do it based on when we received the report, so I do apologize. And all we want to do is delete roadways, bus route, and bus stops through the larger Palliser major redevelopment site and replace it with roadways and driveways for phase one. Because, quite honestly, a conceptual plan showing the proposed internal roadways, bus route, and bus stops through the larger Palliser MRS is premature at this time. There are no internal roadways, bus routes, and bus stops proposed as part of the phase one development. There's an existing bus stop that's like a 2-minute walk, not even, just south of the site, which we will be using. And we'll have a sidewalk that goes to that bus stop. The pavement and driveways in the existing parking area will be upgraded as part of this phase one to provide access, including emergency vehicle access and garbage truck access. We simply have to upgrade the existing pavement so that it will comply with all requirements. So that's what is proposed in phase one. But obviously in phase one, we will include all the required landscaping and setbacks and all those kinds of things that will be in there. But just the access, that's what we were proposing. Number two, that for phase one be added in the second sentence following internal roadways, and it's similar comment to number three. This is in Winnipeg Public Service recommendation number four, that we give you the location design of the internal roadways in phase one, which are really driveways, because of course they're going to need to see it to confirm that Winnipeg Fire Paramedic Services can access and support the site. Number three, Winnipeg Public Service recommendation number five, that this clause be deleted as no bus stops will be provided as part of phase one. It relates to where bus stops will be, or relates to providing sufficient space, and we will in subsequent phases, absolutely, but not as part of phase one. Winnipeg Public Service recommendation number six, that this clause be deleted, either deleted in whole or replaced with a clause that is consistent with the revised Schedule B Clause 7. Right now, this clause doesn't match. It's inconsistent with the Schedule B clause related to land dedication. So we're just saying that they should either delete this one and then just keep the one that's in Schedule B, which I think is what the administration was saying, or else we revise this one. Number five, Winnipeg Public Service Recommendation 9, 12, and 13. This is just a request that an additional year be added to all timeframes specified. In the past, Palliser has required more than the standard time frame to complete the registration and approval process, and respectfully request an extension as part of this agreement, if possible. I don't know if you're allowed to do that, but we're respectfully requesting that. Now we get into more of the meat of it, and this is Schedule B. So now we're getting into the ACG report. Schedule B, Clause 2, A1, 2, and 3, which refers to a bike path along the north side of Springfield Road. We're suggesting that funds received from the sale of the Springfield Road right-of-way be used for the purpose of constructing both the asphaltic concrete bike path and the asphaltic concrete multi-use path on the north side of Springfield Road. So they'll take it right from Gateway Road all the way to the Chief Pecos Trail. This approach is consistent with discussions with the city during the development of the area master plan. There's also a third item in there for a sidewalk extension from Dennis to Chief Pecos on the south side. However, there is an application pending for the closure of Springfield. I don't know if I'm allowed to introduce that right now, but I'll just, as background, for the closure of Springfield Road right-of-way, at least the southern portion of it, the top 6 meters of it, would remain in city possession. And this closure, we applied for it in December of 2012, and I know it's run through the process, and I think it's with Palliser, am I correct, and real estate. They're working on that right now. But so we respectfully request that the sidewalk extension, which would be not required for two reasons, because that's now a private, or hopefully will be a private right-of-way, and then secondly, that with it's inconsistent with the policies within the development for a berm all the way along that edge. It'd be difficult to access that sidewalk from the And it would be primarily used by the residents within the Palace or MRS, because you've got the multi-use path on the north side for the existing residents on the north side of Springfield Road. So that's our thought process on that. Schedule B, Clause 2A4, that this clause be deleted and replaced with a new 2A1. And this is just in response to what is currently in all of the attachments to that, to the area master plan, the current traffic impact assessment, which talks about intersection improvements and not specifically traffic signals necessarily, although it may end up being that. Maybe the administration has already come to that decision, I don't know. Maybe that's why it's stated that way, but we're thinking that this should be instead revised to say the full cost of appropriate intersection improvements at the intersection of Gateway Road and Lexington Park as per a traffic impact assessment approved by the City of Winnipeg Public Works Department, and then keep everything else the same when and as determined. But we've added to the very end that you not ask for money until an application for phase two of the subdivision and rezoning, again based on the results of the traffic impact assessment that said these improvements aren't required for phase one. Schedule B, clause 2A5, that this clause be renumbered 2A2 and just add in the same kind of thing, but not prior to approval of an application for phase two subdivision and rezoning, so that you defer payment until the next phase of development. And then related to the new clause 2B, deleting clause 2B and C because they're no longer required. They've been replaced by the proposed clause 2B. And the clause 2D, that this clause be deleted again because it's no longer required if the committee agrees with the clause B as proposed in item 6. The balance are... No.